We are joined by Attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, let's get right into this. I mean, we talked off the air a little bit. Now, it's not the same, certainly, someone getting released and someone dying, especially someone the level of Bud Grant. But for Viking fans, there was a great deal of emotion this past week because a lot of people, I mean, were all upset about Adam Thielen. Quite frankly, he's had a heck of a career. He's 33 years old. And you know what? If he would take the minimum, he probably could still be a Viking. But maybe they don't want to put him in a position to be anything but the number two receiver, and he's not going to be that anymore there. So it is time for him to move on. And you know what? He had a good run, and people should appreciate that, not get all weepy that he's gone.
Yeah, he should. No, he'll be. You know, he'll go on to another team, and you know, when his career is done, I have no doubt that he'll be back here for a Ring of Honor induction at some point. I think he leaves here as the number three all-time receiver for the Vikings behind Carter and Moss, and you know, obviously Justin Jefferson, if he stays healthy and stays here, will probably approach his numbers, maybe surpass him. But Adam will always be one of the greats among the Vikings players, certainly.
All right, now I got a question for you. Before I do want to talk about Bud with you, but before we get to that, Mount Rushmore of Vikings wide receivers, Moss is a slam dunk, obviously. I'm guessing Chris Carter is a slam dunk. Do you put Justin Jefferson on it now? And does Thielen make it? To me, both Carters would go up there.
Yeah, I think that you don't put Justin Jefferson on there yet. I think if I had to pick right now, it's certainly Carter and Moss. You know, yeah, I think AC is probably three. I think four. I think you got a tough one though. I mean, you've got Adam, you've got
Rashad,
you've got Sammy White. You go way back, you got a guy like Gene Washington, who was the original guy that was, you know, doing the deep threat in a time when they ran the ball a lot. So I think the first three are more straightforward. I think that fourth one, I think, you know, it'd be just easy if Justin Jefferson stays here and has a kind of career that we expect him to have, because then he would be number four and he could settle the argument. But yeah, they've had a lot of good receivers over the years.
I got to be honest with you. Even if his career were to be over now, I would throw him up on that list because he's had three incredible years.
Yeah, yes.
You know, and AC, what did AC give? I think AC was with him a lot longer than people imagine because he overlapped a little bit with Chris Carter. So I think he was there through, maybe might even have been through 90. I have to take a look at that because I think that it's longer than a lot of people, including me, think that it was. But as I'm going to check that, and as I'm checking, I saw you posted something on social media, an autograph of Bud. Did you get to know Bud at all, or was it more from a distance?
I would come across him because of, you know, if I'm at something with one of my clients, he would be doing signings or, you know, I know in recent years since Tommy Kramer moved back to Minnesota, he and Bud have been very close. And
yes,
I think the last time I saw Bud was at the Miracle at the Met reunion event in December. But I've been around him other times, and there was, you know, it's funny. I don't know if I ever got my picture taken with him, because a lot of times when I'd be around him, it would be one of those moments where you didn't take a picture. You just kind of like took it in. Like one time I was at a signing and he's backstage with Neil Broughton and they're talking duck hunting. I'm like, you know what? You don't interrupt that. You just take it in and be grateful that you're there. Be a fly on the wall for a conversation between Bud Grant and Neil Broughton about duck hunting, you know?
Well, I mean, that was one of his passions. That certainly,
yes,
hunting.
Was.
And I think if you were to put the, you know, put coaching, hunting, and fishing, I think coaching may wind up third on his list.
I think, you know, I think one thing he gets some criticism. He got some criticism for not stressing the Super Bowl losses as much. But I think some ways, I think he just held that in proper perspective. You know, for him, it was a job that you did. And at some point, you just got to kind of close the books on that and move on with life. There were other things. And I think that that's probably what, kind of just kept him the way he was all those years.
Well, I know that he did go duck hunting during playoff games. You know, they had a playoff game in the afternoon. He'd go in the morning. And he always kept to the schedule he wanted. Yes, it's unfortunate they didn't win a Super Bowl. You talk to a number of players who say that the offense was changed, or they changed what got them there when they got to the Super Bowl. They might have outsmarted themselves, but he still got there four times.
Exactly. Yeah, they did. My favorite, I still go back to, and I know we've talked about it before, my favorite Bud Grant story is the one about the grass seed at training camp in Mankato.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you're the one that told me that he actually planted the grass seed as the trap.
Yes.
And he put the signs up, don't, you know, keep off the grass, and anybody that disobeyed the rule was gonna cut. And I think he was in the office with Fran Tarkenton, and Fran was kind of, isn't that kind of harsh? He goes, if they can't mind that instruction, what are they going to do during a game? And I think that's a good rule for life. If you can't do something as simple as not walk on grass seed, you can't be trusted with a lot of help. So he was just kind of a basic guy, you know?
Well, you know, one of the players told me about that, and I asked Bud, and he said, yep. And, you know, because it was right down at Mankato, the sign, don't walk on the grass, and guys would walk across it, and he'd be watching from his window. And that made it easier for him to, you know, decide who's not going to stay with the team. Keep in mind, this is a guy where discipline was paramount. I mean, no team in the history of the NFL has done what he did when it came to the national anthem. They practiced standing at attention for the national anthem.
I was just going to say that. I think he actually, you know, enlisted. It's a client of mine, a good friend of both of ours, Carl Eller, who had been in the Army Reserve, and he had Carl work with the team on that, you know, on lining up like that. And it became a big thing. But yeah, you see all those teams lining up for the anthem. That was Bud Grant that first with the Vikings that first originated that.
Well, the helmet on, you know, held in the right arm, and he I mean, so much of what he did was discipline, and it was cutting down on errors and not making mistakes. That was what was so important to him. And the whole thing with, you know, he made guys go on the sideline. Didn't matter how cold it was, and they were not going to have heaters because he didn't want guys huddled around a heater. He wanted them paying attention to a game. And, you know, he probably one of the most impressive things he did was at the age of 88 in, what was it, 2017, when the Vikings played the Seattle Seahawks. He went on the field in short sleeves because he wanted to let these guys know, hey, it's all mental. And he always told this story, which I think players got tired of, those who were around him a long time, about Eskimos who the weather never bothered them. They'd work outside, and they, you know, because this is what they knew they had to, and they did. They never complained, and they weren't, you know, bundling themselves all up. And Vikings players, they did catch on to that because they played in these games with nothing underneath, no shirts under their jersey, come out with short sleeves, their skin bare. And there were players who said the minute the Rams would step off the plane onto the tarmac, because back then they didn't have the gateway or that the type of, you know, they'd walk down to the stairs and walk outside. They were done the minute they did that because they had no shot because they knew how bitter cold it was. Although
he also kept a degree of humility among his players too. You know, today we see the showboating and the end zone celebrations and the spiking and stuff. You know, I can remember stories. I think you are familiar with it too, Bob. Ursel McBee was hurt and came onto the sidelines wearing a cape, and Bud made him go sit with the players' wives.
It was a purple cape.
This was like that,
and he was cut the next day.
Yeah, and he was the one that had the phrase, you know, when you score a touchdown, act like you've been there before, right? And you hear that phrase anytime the Vikings are, you know, they're way out of a game and somebody scores a touchdown and they do a celebration in the end zone. I always think of that about, you know, what would Bud say about that? You know, act like you, they don't act like they've been there before, the way, he's supposed to just, he didn't want that kind of showboating and egotism amongst his players.
You would not be seeing the gritty more than once the first time Justin Jefferson did it, and you certainly wouldn't be hearing Grey Duck Vodka probably wouldn't exist because that came out of the end zone celebration when they did the duck duck goose, and that became a big deal because people weren't sure about, you know, how it went. But he the Vikings have had a lot of interesting celebrations over the last few years. None of them would have happened under Bud Grant.
No.
It is, you know what? It was a different time, and he was a little bit of a different coach. But, I mean, I like the guy. I talked about it a little earlier that when I covered him for that 1 year. I mean, there aren't that many of us left, and I'm dating myself a bit, though I was very young at the time, but there aren't that many people living who covered Bud on a regular basis, I mean. You know, Royce was a columnist, and Kurt Brown and I covered the team in 85, but Greg Wong, I think, might be the only one I can come up with who was regularly covered the team when the Vikings, you know, before Bud retired after the 83 season. So, yeah, I mean, not many of us have, and I don't have that great number of anecdotes because I just had the 85 season, but I did enjoy talking to him and spending time talking to him after he retired for the final time. And you know what's amazing is he retired from the final time at the age of 57. It's not like he was an old man. I mean, he could have gone much, much longer. Matter of fact, I think Jerry Burns became a head coach for the first time at about the age Bud was when he retired, because they were roughly the same age.
You know, Bud didn't go out with all of the fanfare that, say, some of the – I mean, who knows what how many more wins he would have accumulated had he stayed. But, you know, he decided that there were other things he wanted to do in life. And, you know, God bless him for deciding that that was just not something he was going to do anymore, that he was going to walk away from it. And, you know, he did always maintain an office. You know, that was part of the deal. He was to remain a consultant with the Vikings up until the end. And he had an office out there. And I understand, I saw it once out there. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Bob, but I believe they made it up like his previous office. So it's got like wood paneling and, you know, animal heads on the wall and ducks and stuff.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
They made it as a replica of his, you know, his original office. The current coach, a lot of, you know, I think Kevin McConnell said that he would go and he sat down and talked with Bud this year. So they would go to him.
Well, that would be – it's rare because Denny Green never went to him. I mean, he was a consultant who didn't consult us, how he said it at one point. Jeff, we can go on for hours talking about Bud, but thank you for that. Jeff O'Brien, we'll take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back.